The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I used to be in campus here 20 years ago. I never preached in this chapel. 20 years later, they honored me with this invitation and to see these buildings again. And when we were here, our kids were just like them. And to see all of you brings me great memories of the blessing that we received in this seminary. I'm going to base my homily on the words that were read from the lectionary, Mark chapter 14. Please have that fresh in your mind as we go through some of the passages of the text. It's when Jesus goes with his followers to Gethsemane for one of his last prayers with the Father. Talking about followers, I could ask you, for how long have you been following Jesus? And I bet I can get a great Lutheran answer, and you can say, well, since baptism. So we have some little ones here that since baptism, they were they are followers of Jesus. Now, some other people may say that they had a different experience and that they are following the Lord when they heard his voice not long ago, when they were grown-ups. And some other people may say, well, I followed the Lord for a while and then I wander off for many years, and by the grace of God, I am a follower again. There are many different experiences in the followers of Jesus. But about following Jesus, there is only one thing. One thing that we know for sure is equal for every believer. To follow Jesus is never boring. This has been my experience. It is never boring. Just look at the first disciples when they started following Jesus. The simple fact that they left what they were doing, whatever they were doing for their living, and then start walking behind him and went wherever he went. That brings a lot of excitement. The words of Jesus were amazing for them. His teaching was extraordinary, extraordinary. The words of Jesus were amazing. His disciples had the privilege to get deep into his teachings more than anybody else, more than the general public. Matthew records, for instance, that his disciples approached Jesus and asked him, explain us the parable of the wheat in the field, after he had taught the people. So they went apart for a very, very private conference, and there, facing Jesus, that they could hear the will of God being revealed through Jesus, the will of God for all humankind in a very intimate place. What a privilege that many did not have to hear firsthand about this will of God. Peter was so impressed many times about Jesus' teaching that one time he would say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I bet Peter and the other ones enjoyed listening to the teaching of Jesus. And what about the first miracle? Converting all those gallons of water into great wine. Jesus did know how to parry. What a master. You never know when Jesus is about to show his glory. The disciples didn't know either. And after that first miracle, they put their faith in him. The disciples followed Jesus to many places. They saw him resurrecting Lazarus, feeding thousands with little food, healing many diseases. Some of them even saw him transfigured, a very unique experience where the appearance of Jesus changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning, and two dead people from the Old Testament showed up at each side of Jesus in glorious splendor. To follow Jesus is never boring, ever. The disciples saw many other manifestations of his glory, so many that John, the evangelist, at the end says, if every one of Jesus' manifestation were written down, I suppose that even the whole world could not have room for the books that could be written. This is it, said John. This is as much as I can write. But if we had to write everything Jesus did, there is no books in the world that can hold this. To follow Jesus brings many joys, and you know that by experience. It brings some challenges too. Some people get so excited that they even want to do everything that Jesus did. They even want to walk on water. Remember Peter. He's just one example. Many times Jesus' followers watch him pray. Something was really amazing about him praying. That one time the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. There must be something amazing about you talking with your Abba, with your Father. We want to learn how to pray. Now here, in this occasion, on the Bible passage appointed for today, we have another instance of Jesus praying. But this time, Jesus' followers are not awake enough to watch him pray, much less awake to keep watch with him as Jesus requested them. I know that you could tell many stories about you following Jesus. I'm sure you experienced, like I did many times, the joy of receiving his word, of understanding his teaching. It's just a pleasure how God makes us smile when we open the Bible and he talks to us and we discover his deep love toward us. I don't doubt you can recognize moments when Jesus' healing power cleansed you, and when his forgiveness brought you peace and calmed your heart down. But to follow Jesus is not always fun. It is exciting. It's never boring, but it's not always fun. Look again at the disciples. They could not stay awake for 1 hour. They could not keep their eyes open, and what is worse, they did not know what to say. When Jesus came to see them for the second time, he found them asleep. I find myself in the same situation many times. Very often I go to the same situation. I do not know what to say when Jesus comes and asks me, why are you not praying, or why are you not keeping watch? I just run out of excuses. Why were the disciples so tired? Luther said in one of his sermons on Holy Week that the women, Mary Magdalene, and the other women were the ones who prepared the Passover meal. So what were the disciples? Why were they so tired? Did they spend all their energy preparing the Passover? I doubt it. There was something else going on. There was something else going on. Look at Jesus. He never, ever in his life said something like this before. My soul is overwhelming with sorrow to the point of death. If my best friend and master, whom I've been following for many years, tells me something like this: I bet my energy will go away and I will crash like the disciples did. Why was Jesus so overwhelmingly sad? Overwhelmingly sad. Mark also said that Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled. I picture Jesus knowing that he was about to be punished. He was not taken by surprise. A friend of mine, a medical psychiatrist, taught me a new concept on pain. That was about 2 months ago. We're talking about psychiatric disorders, psychological, emotional disorders. And he told me the psychic pain is so strong and so unbearable on some people that they just take their lives. And we always think about psychic disorders or emotional disorders, but we don't think about psychic pain. I picture Jesus here being emotionally and spiritually in pain. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Where did that pain come from? He didn't do anything, you know that. He didn't do anything to deserve this anguish. He did not do anything to be penalized. Nevertheless, he was about to be punished. When you know that punishment is coming, you know there is no much to say to defend yourself, but just plead for mercy. Just plead for mercy. If this is your will, Abba, take this cup away from me. Take this cup away from me. And Mark records that Jesus went 3 times to ask the same thing. He pleaded for mercy. I was punished too when I was a child, just like you guys, several times. You don't need to know why. Fact is, I was punished. I remembered that. My mother never had to say, wait until your dad comes home, because that was very handy, right there across the door in his studio. But my older brother, whom I graciously forgave all his trespasses against me, sometimes would say, I will tell dad what you did. And many times it will be only to stop me bugging him. But sometimes he will. He will go and tell dad what I did. The time between my dad knew about my trespasses, about the time he was informed, and the time when I received my punishment was the worst. It was living hell. It was better to go in his studio and say, okay, dad, this is what I did. I'm sorry, I plead for mercy. Punish me and let's get over this once and for all. Nowadays, they call it discipline. My dad and mom were very straightforward. It was punishment. Now, can you picture Jesus waiting for the time when his father will open the door and look at him, very angry for your sin and for mine? Can you picture the father getting ready to punish his innocent son? The shame that Jesus bore for our sin. Jesus knew that his beloved Abba could turn his back away from him in a few hours, completely. He would close his door while he was going to be punished on the cross. There was nothing Jesus could say but plead for mercy. Please, take this cup away from me. But I will do your will, if this is what you want. I think Jesus did not see only his Father's angry face. He saw also in his Father the love that his Father has for you and for me. He just saw it. During this time of anguish, Jesus also saw your face, the face of all the elected ones, my face. He just saw us. And he said to himself, I'm gonna do it for them. I'm gonna do it for them. He went all the way to the cross to change our situation so you and I can walk out there free with no guilt and no sin and no pain. And punished and free. What a savior we have. What a savior we have. When we don't know what to say, he's still praying for us. He takes our sin and shame across his shoulders so we may follow him. We may follow him with all the excitement that that means, that that brings in the freedom of forgiveness. And to follow Jesus in whatever vocation God is bringing you, in whatever call God is giving you, with whatever gifts God is giving you, it's an amazing journey. And you know that the best is still to come. Easter is coming very soon. Amen.